would not be described by joyful by people who haven't been in that situation. Is there joy in it?
There is.
Where does it come from?
I think that you find joy in small moments and in being of service. One incident came to mind when I was thinking of this. Just before Mom was relocated into the care facility, we were sitting in the den in her home, and she has big windows, and just outside the window was a bird feeder, and there were birds at the feeder. It was wintertime in November, and the sun, it was first thing in the morning, the sun was reflecting through the window, or cast a light through the window, and the shadow of the birds was reflected on the door. I was on my computer, and Mom said, "Oh, look at the birds on the door." And I hadn't really been paying attention. You know, she was really aware and of her environment. And I looked up and I saw the shadow of the birds, and it was really a very touching moment.
Are you moved to find the joy? Are you moved to take advantage of the moments? Are you moved to be more conscious of time passing when you know that there's an inevitable end to that process, and that your time with a parent or another member of the family where you can sit and talk and share? Is that something that you've experienced in being with your mom?
Well, I think that when you know that death is coming, we all are going to go there one day, and we certainly don't know when it is. And I think that we lose sight of how fragile life really is. But when you're faced with this kind of situation, it becomes a lot more apparent. And so, and if you don't find that those moments of joy and happiness and laughter and fun, then you're really going to be in a very serious health situation from a caregiving perspective, because
we've been talking so much in this province, and it's part of the election campaign, although it's kind of in the background, about the whole question of end-of-life care. And we've talked about palliative care. And we've talked about how many people, when asked, say, what I want to do is I want to be at home as long as I can be. Is that an issue that you think is getting more attention than it once would have been? Are we turning finally to that as the obvious avenue for an aging population that's expressing that need?
Well, it's certainly going to be a problem. I mean, I myself, my mom has Alzheimer's, both her sisters had it, and her brother's getting it now too. So it's really likely that I myself am going to get the disease. And I don't have children. Who's going to care for me? Certainly what I see in the health industry at the moment is there aren't sufficient resources even now to care for the people who are sick at this moment. So as the population ages, it's going to become even more problematic. How are we going to deal with that? Where are we going to find the caregivers? Who's going to train them? How are they going to be paid? And certainly I believe that, as you say, most people want to stay in their own home. That's their first choice, but that's a very expensive proposition from financially and emotionally and physically from the perspective of the caregivers.
From your perspective now, you're no longer with your mother in her home. What is life like now that you're entering into a new phase, if you like, and you're dealing with what you just described, the knowledge that it might be you?
Well, I'm doing a couple of things. First of all, I see my mom every day. I followed her to North Hatley. That's why I'm living in North Hatley, so I could be close to her. So I see her for 2 or 3 hours every day, and I spend time with her and try to do joyful activities with her. Well, Eric, for example, plays healing piano, so he comes once a week and we sing. And so that's what I'm doing for her. For myself, I've started to get baseline testing for Alzheimer's disease, and I'm volunteering for research so that if I do get it, my experience can be used possibly to help other people going down the road. I'm also trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle, because that's one of the best ways to prevent the disease is vascular health. So I get lots of exercise. I eat right. I've got a bit of a cold at the moment, but staying healthy is an important thing to do.
We talked with Dr. Lin on the program this week, and he said what's good for the heart is good for the brain. That's a good bottom line to stand by. But it's one thing to talk to a medical professional on the air about a subject, and to hear someone recount their experience firsthand is a much more telling vision of what it's like to be in that situation. I appreciate your being with us this morning and your candor and sharing your own experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Susan McCauley, who has been caring for her mother at home in North Hadley. I'm sure there are a lot of people for whom that conversation has echoed. There are a lot of people in the same position. We had hoped to talk to Eric Akbar Mandelson, who's the